From WNYC, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. A while back, I interviewed a legendary food critic named Mimi Sheridan here on the show, and she told a story about a time that she had 104 pastrami sandwiches in her car. She was taking them all to a scale to weigh them because she wanted to see which Jewish deli gave you the best value for your money. Well, a Sporkful listener named Bill in San Clemente, California, heard that episode, and he called in with a pretty provocative suggestion.
The first thought I had was that they make the sandwiches smaller for women. And my wife and I were discussing it, and she wasn't so sure that would be true. And I think you guys should do an episode where you guys do some investigative eating and get out there and see if there's a gender disparity in sandwich making.
What's your wife's take on this? What does she think about the sandwich weight issue? Why does she think it's possible?
Well,
that it's
she wasn't sure it was possible. We talked about it after I mentioned it to you, and she's the one actually said, you should send Dan an email. And because she said, I don't know if that's true or not. She goes, it wouldn't bother me if it was, because she goes, I can't eat those giant sandwiches.
But she's being charged the same amount.
Yes, I think that, but she probably wouldn't eat it all anyway.
But what your wife is accepting here, in theory, is like the opposite of equal pay.
Yes, exactly.
She's basically saying, I would be fine paying the same amount for less food. It's not fair to charge the same price for all sandwiches and then give smaller ones to women.
Oh, totally.
Especially when they're not making as much for the same work. Am I right, ladies? Come on. Equal pay for equal pastrami. So what would we have to do to satisfy you? Like, I'm thinking we need to set out criteria. Let's make this as scientific as we're able. I think one of the important things when we pick the places, though, is that the people who make the sandwiches have to see the person who ordered it.
Absolutely, yeah. If they don't see you, it would be invalid.
The person making the sandwich may not know if they're making it for a man or a
woman. No, you have to order it from the guy that makes the sandwich.
Right. All right, Bill, we're going to go out, we're going to eat sandwiches, because this is the burden we bear for you, the loyal listener, and we will report back on what we find.
Oh, thank you very much, Dan.
All right, thanks for the call.
All righty, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hey, Lauren, it's Dan.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. I'm actually in the middle of doing my show right now, and I kind of need your help.
Okay.
So this is my friend Lauren Hale. She's an associate professor at Stony Brook University. She runs a lot of studies and crunches a lot of numbers. I wanted our experiment to be as scientific as possible, so I brought her up to speed on what we were planning and asked her how to do it right.
For starters, you're probably going to need to buy a lot of sandwiches.
Okay.
So that might not be a problem for you. I don't know.
How many? How many would we need for this to make it into the journal Science?
Right. That is a big conundrum, because it could vary a lot depending on the size of the differential.
So basically what you're saying is that the narrower the difference between male sandwiches and female sandwiches, the more total sandwiches we need to buy in order to prove that there's a meaningful difference.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Gotcha. Well, due to time and budgetary constraints, I think we're probably just going to get about 5 sandwiches.
Right.
And see
you
what happens.
You might find something, and we can test that. If you give me the numbers, I can crunch it for you.
Coming up, Slate's Laura Anderson and I set off on a mission around New York. We'll buy a bunch of sandwiches, bring them back to WNYC, and weigh them. Is sandwich sexism real? We'll find out. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Hey, I've got some really exciting news to share with you guys. As you may know, I host a cooking channel web series called You're Eating It Wrong. But what you may not know is that there's a chance You're Eating It Wrong could become a real live TV show. Just like Mad Men or Storage Wars Cleveland. We made a TV pilot that's going to air a few times in the next few weeks, and if enough of you watch it, it'll become a regular TV show. In the pilot episode, I talked to a rocket scientist about how to dip tortilla chips to get maximum dip without chip breakage. And I explain why I think a slice of pizza should be folded inside out. The show debuts this Friday, October 23rd, on Cooking Channel, and it'll air four more times after that. I put the full schedule up at sporkful.com, along with a link to help you find Cooking Channel in your town. So set your DVR and please, please watch You're Eating It Wrong. Watch it early and often. I gotta say, on fourth or fifth viewing, I think you'll really start to appreciate some of the show's deeper meanings. Now, back to the issue of sandwich sexism. I met up with my friend Laura Anderson, Slate's food and drink editor. She writes under the name LV Anderson, and on her Twitter profile, she says, quote, "My interests include food, feminism, and fun. Just kidding, I hate fun." So I knew Laura was perfect for this mission. And before we set out, we discussed expectations.
Maybe there are people who will be like, hey, I look at a person, I take a bunch of factors into consideration, I think about how hungry they look, and I make a sandwich accordingly. Probably not, but maybe.
Right, right. I also think, like, if I was a guy behind a sandwich counter, and if an attractive woman walked in, and if I was looking to win her over in some way, my thought process, the way it works, is I would make her, like, the biggest, most awesome sandwich I'd ever made.
Interesting.
And if that doesn't impress her, then that's not the girl for me.
Do you expect that all of the sandwich makers are going to be men? I expect that most of them will be, but possibly not all.
Do they have female sandwich makers now?
I know.
Now I've heard of it all, Laura.
I know. What is the world coming to?
No, you're right. I should say he or she. And so do you think that it's more likely that a male sandwich maker would make an extra big sandwich to impress a female customer, or that a female sandwich maker would make an extra big sandwich to impress a male customer?
I just don't think that sandwich makers are trying to impress people all that often. Like, I don't think that this is a scenario that comes up that frequently.
That's not how everyone thinks?
We will find out.
Right. Let's do it.
Okay.
We had a list of sandwich shops. We plan to go into each place, one right after the other, and each order the exact same sandwich without letting on that we were together. Then, after we got our sandwiches, we dropped the charade, tell them about our experiment, and tried to interview the sandwich makers. Our first stop was a typical New York bodega, like a little market with a deli counter. We got turkey sandwiches on rolls.
What's one you think?
The counter guy was too busy to chat, so we moved on to an old-school Italian place called Fico's. I recorded my order with my cell phone. Listen to me trying to sound like I was making the sandwich up as I went along, even though I knew I was going to order the exact sandwich Laura got.
Can I please have a fresh mozzarella sandwich? Could I do, like, broccoli rabe and, you have, like, artichokes? Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, I know. Smooth. I got my sub. It was massive. Laura came back into the store, and I pulled out my mic. We talked to a counter guy named Hoover Gutierrez. He insisted he's an equal opportunity sandwich maker.
I always make sure to keep it the same. I really don't focus on the customer, I focus on the sandwich. It's just so routine. When someone asks for something, I'm already in my own mind zone, and I'm just making a sandwich, packing it up, and go.
So, Hoover, how do you portion the sandwiches? Like, when you make a sandwich, how do you know how much meat or how much cheese to put on?
I think it's all a matter of practice. After you make 5 or 10, you just happen to eyeball it, and for some reason I always hit it right on the dot. It's just, I mean, I've been doing this for over 9 years, so.
Do you ever put a little extra into a sandwich? Like, let's say a guy comes in and he seems real friendly and he looks like he's real hungry, maybe he's a big burly construction worker. You ever throw in an extra slice of meat?
Maybe a slice or two, but definitely just try to keep it the same for everybody.
Does anyone ever request a bigger or smaller sandwich? Anyone ever request smaller?
Surprisingly, people request both.
What customers would you say are more likely to request smaller sandwiches?
Females. Females always want to look, take care of their shape and are worried about too many calories. Females are most likely to request less meat and healthier bread, like a whole wheat bread.
Do you think it's possible that, like, you know, sandwich makers in general, not even at this store, but in the world, do you think it's possible that some people might, even without thinking, not on purpose, make smaller sandwiches for women than for men once in a while?
I think that's definitely a possibility. And if I think someone was going to make a lighter sandwich, it would probably be for a female, just for their safety or for their better interest.
From there, it was on to a Mexican place called Choza for tortas. There are a lot of regional variations on the torta. These had cheese, black bean paste, chili cream, salsa, guacamole, and a choice of meat. Laura's a vegetarian, so I had to coach her up a bit on the order. All right, you go
ahead. But tell me what kind of torta you got.
Carnitas. Okay. That's all I got to say. Carnitas torta.
With everything.
Just say one carnitas torta.
Okay. Thank you for the script.
All right.
One carnitas torta. I think I can remember it.
I really want to see you go up there and be like, line. After we got our tortas, we talked to the woman who made them. Her name is Jaylavi.
I'm very consistent, like, and I really argue with my, even with my boss, I argue with it with him and with my other co-workers.
What's the argument?
Consistency.
So you say you want it to be consistent.
Yes, because people expect to come back and taste and try the same thing.
One of the things that we're exploring here is whether or not sometimes, even by accident, without thinking, a person making a sandwich might make a sandwich smaller for women than they make it for men. Do you think that's possible?
When I worked nights, I think it was on a Saturday, I think, one of my delivery guys.
And what did he do?
He made the burrito for the men bigger.
And did you say anything
to
him?
Of course.
Well, what did you say?
I said, you know, it's equally amount of each item, you know. Like, I go over that a lot with them.
Did you accuse him of doing it because she was a woman?
I didn't tell him that, but I knew it. You know, I knew it.
Are there any other examples you can think of a time that you know that someone made a smaller sandwich for a woman?
I've seen it. Like, I've seen it when I used to work at McDonald's with the fries and everything. I've seen it with the ice creams, and I used to work in Starbucks. I saw it also with the milk. They used to even ask the girls, well, you like non-fat, not the men's.
Interesting. And you said in at McDonald's they would portion the fries differently,
yes,
for men or women?
Yes, they will. Yep.
So this is a real thing. This happens,
yes,
all over the place.
And in my house, when I grew up, they gave more food to my boys, so the boys in my family, than the girls. Seen it all through my life.
All right. Thank you very much. This is great.
Thank you. Thank you for choosing my restaurant.
Laura, thoughts?
I did not expect to have someone so openly acknowledge this pervasive unequal treatment. So that was really fascinating.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't have a policy of discrimination, but what she said sounded very plausible.
And it could be a result of unconscious bias.
Of course, yeah.
It's not necessarily that a person is saying, I'm going to shortchange this woman.
Right. But it seems like this is perhaps an overgeneralization based on that one conversation, but it seems like maybe women are more conscious of this possibility than men are, and so women working in the food industry are perhaps less likely to unconsciously give more to men than to women. Or maybe not. I'm glad we got to meet a female sandwich maker, though. One with so much experience.
Yeah, they do exist.
They do exist. It's true.
Of course, we couldn't do this test without hitting up a type of restaurant known for its portion sizes, the Jewish deli. We went to Second Avenue Deli for pastrami on rye, and I talked to the owner, Jeremy Liebewall. I asked him whether sandwich sexism could be real.
Anything is possible, but when you're dealing with an ingredient like pastrami or brisket or corned beef that is so expensive and your food costs are so crucial to making sure that your business is profitable and can stay profitable, I don't see it happening, no.
We made our way back to WNYC and headed down to the mailroom, where they have a scale. We met up with Alethea John, who basically runs the show down there.
I think that they're really cheap with us women because they think that, you know, we're underneath the men sometimes, and then we can't eat as much as they can. But if I was making my own sandwich, it would be really double time, extra meat, extra cheese, extra mayo, lettuce and tomato. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, we need your help to both operate the mailroom scale and help us eat sandwiches. Are you qualified to do both of those things?
I am qualified to do more than that. And yes,
all right.
Eat it all.
All right. Okay, we're putting the first sandwich onto the scale. Here we go. 10.6 ounces for the male turkey sandwich. All right, 10.6. Now the female turkey sandwich. 10.9 for the female.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's not a discrimination. All right.
All right.
It's a kind of discrimination.
Unexpected. Now comes the big mozzarella sandwiches that we got at the Italian deli.
1 pound, 6.2 ounce.
Okay. 1 pound, 6.2 ounce for the male giant mozzarella. You got that, Ann? Alethea, what do we have?
1 pound, 9.1.
Wow. So once again, bigger.
That is crazy. So far, I'm shocked.
Two out of
I'm
two.
I'm eating this one. This one is mine.
All right. What do you think about this so far, Laura?
I'm surprised. I think this is, so far, this goes against the hypothesis that inspired the episode.
All right, let's move on to our tortas.
All right, is that the male?
Which one's this?
Male torta.
The male torta is?
12 ounces.
12 ounces on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Time for the female torta.
10.8. That's discrimination. Yeah.
This is particularly shocking because the woman who made our tortas told us, first of all, she was a woman. Secondly, she told us that she's very, very careful about consistency and thinks that discrimination is a bad thing. So the fact that my torta was smaller than the dance torta demonstrates that perhaps there is some kind of unconscious bias going on here. Or she's just not quite as precise as she thinks she is.
All right. The final one here is the Jewish deli sandwich, hot pastrami's.
Expensive pastrami sandwich.
The $20 pastrami sandwiches.
Okay, we got our male pastrami here.
11.7 ounce.
11.7 for the male pastrami. Last one, this is the female Jewish deli sandwich.
13.7 ounce.
Am I correct then that three of our four sandwiches were larger for the female?
Yeah.
Well, you know what this means, Laura?
This is a shocking twist.
Yes.
That's how I would describe it. What does this mean?
Well, I was going to say it means that I got to take you with me whenever I buy sandwiches.
I guess so.
So, is sandwich sexism real? The jury is still out. But one thing's for sure, no one's as consistent as they think they are. And I guess my takeaway here is that, you know, I talk a lot on the show about sandwich engineering and the role of things like friction and bite consistency versus bite variety. You know, I look at sandwiches very analytically. I guess maybe I also need to be reminded that sandwiches are as much an art as they are a science. You know, like when you go to a bar and you order a cocktail and the bartender starts measuring out the ingredients with a measuring cup, like, doesn't that feel kind of lame? You know, like, I want them to know how to make the drink. And yeah, sure, that probably results in some inconsistency. But I realize that I kind of like feeling like my drink or my sandwich, it's its own special snowflake that was made just for me. So I guess what I'm saying is, I'm okay with some inconsistency. But don't be shortchanging the ladies. By the way, I did check back with my friend Lauren, the professor that I talked to earlier in the show. She confirmed that our findings were not statistically significant. Big news flash there. Sample size was too small, but she did have an idea for how to fix it.
I mean, one thing you might consider doing is upping the sample size by encouraging your listeners to buy two sandwiches and weigh them. One purchased by a male, one purchased by a female. It has to be the same sandwich at the same place at the same time of day.
Made by the same person.
Made by the same person, and then submitting the numbers. I'd be happy to rerun some numbers if we had like 30 or 40 pairs.
So go forth, my friends, and buy sandwiches. Email me your findings at dan@sporkful.com.
One of these moments, and it won't be long. All the food in your belly, honey, will be gone. You rust around your refrigerator and your shelf. All the nearest stores in a country mile, and your back's worn out and your feet is tired. We're gonna have to make nourishment for ourselves. So take my hands, take my feet. Be the bread, honey, you be the meat. Tell you what we're gonna do. Your skin is brown, your lips are sweet. I always said you're good enough to eat. Let's make ourselves a sandwich.
This is the two-man gentleman band, friends of the show, love these guys. I do want to add that we reached out to McDonald's, Starbucks, FICO's, and Choza, and they all either declined to comment for this show or didn't get back to us. My thanks to Laura Anderson from Slate, a.k.a. LV Anderson. She wrote her own piece on Slate about sandwich sexism and our adventure around the city. We'll link to it at Sporkful.com. Quick reminder, please watch my TV show. It's called You're Eating It Wrong. It debuts Friday, October 23rd on Cooking Channel. It airs four more times into the first week of November. All the times and channels and details are at Sporkful.com. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. Our engineer is Irene Trudell. We get help from Tim Ruggieri. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Kathy from Stockton, California, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Tasty, I bet we can rustle up something tasty. Let's make ourselves a sandwich. Let's make ourselves a sandwich. Let's make ourselves a sandwich.